All right. So on the Mind of a Football Coach podcast, we have a new coach, Coach Allen. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks, Coach Davis. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, this is great, man. We connected soon after I got the head football coach job at Kent Island, and it's been good to connect and get to know you.
Yeah, for sure. It's been great. Credit to Coach Prince who got us together and started this friendship and relationship that we have building here, and it's exciting. It's really exciting. It really is.
Yeah, man. The Lord works in mysterious ways, and I don't think there's coincidence. So yeah, man, it's a beautiful thing, the way that the life works out, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. You never know which way life is going to take you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a windy road, as they say, and you never know what's around each corner until you get to that corner. And this particular corner has been a fantastic curve in the road.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's been so cool to get to know people at Kent Island, including yourself. And man, we were talking before the podcast, though, it's incredibly busy. It's like, for me, it's doing two jobs at once. Like, I'm finishing my work here, and then also doing the head football coach thing and get my teaching stuff all lined out. But it's good, man. I'm tired at the end of the day, but that's a good thing.
Well, you know, you can't forget to mention that you are Pat McAfee's biggest rival and the new mayor of Kent Island. I mean, you throw all that in there and you got your plate full here.
Pat McAfee, man, I tell you what, I love his show, man.
It is. Well, the great thing about his show is it's hilarious, right? I mean, there's a lot of things to laugh at, but beyond all the comedy that they do on the show, it's really informative. Like it's really a group of people who have always been a part of the game or have been professional athletes and kind of behind the scenes look sometimes. You know, they have points that they make on the show that you don't hear on SportsCenter. You know, so because of that, it makes that show really, really interesting.
Yeah, it really does. And I feel like media these days is so cool because you get, like you said, those behind the scenes stories. And
absolutely.
I mean, even 5 years ago, it was harder to get those. And yeah.
Yeah, I agree that 100%. I think we're also a information hungry society right now. You know, I think with everything we have at our fingertips, a lot of people want more and more and more, you know? So I think the more behind the scenes information you can get from a show like McAfee, the more fans are going to follow along because it's more and more information that, you know, that people seem to be craving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And man, I did not watch much College Game Day last year, but the thing he did before the SEC championship game where he riles up the Georgia fans and he picks Alabama.
I remember it exactly. Yeah.
Man, like I'll probably watch that tonight when we're done with the podcast. That is so gutsy, man. Like, what are you doing? Those people are going to mob you and beat you up. You're in Atlanta. My goodness.
Yeah. I don't think the local bars there were buying him free rounds that night.
No, not at all. It's interesting, like with him and Saban being on that show, like the West Virginia connection is so mm-hmm. interesting for such a small little state. You know, Saban grew up not far from where I am right now, and McAfee played at WVU. Jimbo Fisher came from West Virginia, Rich Rodriguez. It's more people have left than have come in, definitely.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. I mean, the state of West Virginia has been known for producing great athletes. Mm-hmm. You know, there's probably not many rosters in the country that doesn't have at least one West Virginia native on the squad. Mm. So, you know, they just build them really tough out there. They're hard-nosed. They're blue-collar. It's just, mm-hmm. you know, it's just a good place to go find athletes. You know, it's just kind of kind of like Pennsylvania also, you know, Pennsylvania mm-hmm. could be that way. Parts of Maryland are that way. Virginia, like Norfolk, Virginia Beach area, Richmond area. There's like these hotbeds of athletes throughout the country. But yeah, West Virginia is definitely one of those places.
Yeah, no doubt. And your brother is a coach at Virginia Tech, correct? If I've heard correctly.
Yes, sir. That is correct. He is. He's he played at Virginia Tech. He was drafted by the Carolina Panthers. Hmm. Actually, if my memory serves me right, it was their first draft. So he was a third round pick. I'm trying to remember exactly. I tell this story often to people because people know this guy more than they know his NFL career. But I believe it was two picks before Terrell Owens is when he was drafted. So,
shoot.
Yes. Yeah. So that's a pretty cool fact right there. His career lasted three seasons.
Yeah.
Had some injuries. You know, that's part of being an athlete. That's going to happen to people. And then he went from there and fired up his coaching career. And speaking of West Virginia, he had a stop in Marshall. Him and his family, they loved it out there. We went down several times to visit down there and take in games. And, you know, West Virginia is a very beautiful area. You know, there's some – West Virginia gets some bad rep every once in a while, but it's a beautiful area. It truly is.
Yeah, no doubt, man. The natural beauty is a wonderful thing. The people are beautiful. I think JFK had a good quote. The sun does not always shine in West Virginia, but the people do. And
I like that one. That's good.
Yeah, JFK came here and was – campaigning, and you know, people will say different things during campaigns, obviously, but that's a quote you'll hear people say for sure. Yeah, man. And so you're going to start coaching this year for the Kent Island Buccaneers. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's it's, you know, it's not something I was expecting to do. You know, it's not something that where I put my name into the hat. As I mentioned earlier, Coach Prince brought my name up to you, and we chatted and had some good conversations in the short time that you and I have known each other, and here we are. Actually, Coach Sitar just called me today and you know, welcomed me on board, and I'm very excited to be here. So I've been a youth coach for a long time, roughly 20 years, and I love it. Not necessarily the winning, but I love the kids that come across. It's not always about the game on the field as much as the game off the field. You know, some of these lessons that these kids learn, and you hope that they take with them through life to take them to whatever step or whatever dream or whatever goal they have in life. You hope that little moment in time where you're able to spend with them has some kind of an impact in which they can bring with them to their next step in life.
Yeah, man, that's what it's all about. I mean, we're not getting into coaching high school or youth league for prestige or the money. No.
We won't be gracing the cover of Sports Illustrated anytime soon.
No. But like you said, I mean, it's about you're trying to help kids. And that has to be your motivation at your core if you're going to be a good high school or youth league coach.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, the reason why I've always wanted to be a youth coach, it probably stems from when I was a kid. Hmm. You know, you didn't always have, we didn't have the most money, you know, so things are always tough, and it was always hard to get the things you needed. And so when you have the opportunity where, you know, you can scrounge up the money to play for a team that season, you know, and pay for the registration, and, you know, it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And then you get out there and then you come across coaches who you never knew existed, but then you remember these people for the rest of your life because of sometimes it was them being tough on you. Sometimes it was them just taking you over to the side and just having a chat with you because they noticed like, you're down that day. You're not your normal cheery self. Like they can sense the something not right, and they'll take time out of their life and time out of practice just to come over and say, "Hey, how's it going? Are you okay?" You know, there's moments like that. I'm from a very loving family, so you know, I am very fortunate there. But there's kids in this world who, you know, they'll come to practice, and it might be the only real heartfelt interaction they have all that day. You know, because who knows what kind of scenario is happening at their house or what situation is going on in their life. And they step onto that field or that court or that course or, you know, whatever their activity is, just to get the interaction, just to feel like somebody cares about them. You know, I think a lot of people take that for granted. You know, it's more than just running drills and sweating or practicing your instrument. It's more than that. It's about giving that kid a place where they feel comfortable, where they're learning, and where they know somebody cares about them.
Yeah, all those things. And I was thinking back the other day to my little league baseball coach, Robert Ward, and man, just how much of an impact he had on me. I mean, my dad helped me play baseball. But he didn't want to coach me, right? He didn't want to be my baseball coach. And man, Coach Ward was awesome. He made baseball fun. He made it something I wanted to play. And I think that's the ticket. I think sometimes that gets lost this day and age, but I think that it's important that the kids have fun and they want to play the next year. That's what really matters. Right. They keep coming back.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I mean, you see this type of coach I'm very describe all over the place, right? It's a coach that cares about the trophy, right? They care about that plastic trophy. They care about hanging another plaque on the wall. You know, that type of coach also creates a certain environment with the parents where it's win at all costs. We're going to win everything. If we don't win, then this is a waste of time. And that's the wrong environment in which I want my kids to be a part of. I want my kids to win because they worked for it and because they had the right leadership and the right character while playing the sport that they're playing. And that to me means more than anything. I mean, trophies are fun, but it shouldn't be your goal as a youth coach. It shouldn't be. Right. And that's my opinion. I mean, maybe not everybody agrees, but it just shouldn't be the end all be all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we won championships in Little League, like we won our league championship or whatever, but I don't know that even translated to middle school or high school really for me. Cause I mean, where I grew up, we had middle school, like the schools have middle school sports. So I didn't necessarily even translate to there. Because puberty is a magical thing. You know,
it's the great equalizer.
Yes. And there's kids that hit it before other kids and they look like Barry Bonds out there, without the juice, you know?
Yeah. Right.
And then there's kids that are just a little further behind. And, you know, we got to be careful that we don't neglect the kid that just hasn't hit puberty yet. Right. The kid that maybe just is going to bloom a little bit later, because that's, you know, it happens all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of that, you know, there's a family member I have who graduated high school at 6 foot. And then by the time he was 21, he was 6'5". So puberty happens in different times. And that's what I mean. It is a great equalizer because your 9-year-old who's a stud may not be even make the team at you know, his freshman year. Mm-hmm. Because it's very possible because, you know, the other kids are physically dominant. It's going to be hard for that kid to compete sometimes. Mm-hmm. So you have to enjoy youth sports for what they are. Because not every kid is going to have a chance to play if your area has middle school sports or high school sports. It's hard. Mm-hmm. So take youth sports for what they are, enjoy the time, celebrate it, go win as much as possible, but make sure your foundation is the foundation that those kids need. Because that, I don't believe that chasing that trophy as your ultimate goal is the proper foundation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, kids practice habits, you know, how do we practice? Cause sometimes, you know, kids go and play and I get it. You want kids to play, but like when you're playing games all the time, it's not your practice habits don't get a chance to develop into maybe what they should be sometimes. I get it. We're all competitive. We want to go play against other people, but especially, you know, for football, we practice all the time and then we play just every little bit. And I think, you know, youth football follows a great model. And, you know, with my experience with talking to people, baseball is the one that can get a little hairy. You go and play all these games and these kids, their arms just fall off by the time they're 12.
That's very true. You know, both of my kids are playing travel ball. They both enjoy it, and I've been very fortunate with them. Their coaches know how to push them and know how to rest them. Mm-hmm. They're able to use their talents as needed. They do look out for their arms. They put them on a pitch count. I won't mention what team, but just recently I just saw a kid who's 14 years old who threw 106 pitches in one game. That's absurd, right? I mean, that's a lot of throws for a kid at 14U. You know, I don't know how familiar you are, but in the baseball world, there's an app called Game Changer. You can stream games. Okay. But also in there, you can kind of look up other teams, what they're doing, look at their box scores for their game or whatever. And in there, it has their pitch counts. Okay. So you see it all the time. Now, there is a possibility that somebody forgot to switch pitchers, right? Like whoever's running Game Changer forgot to switch out Johnny for Timmy. You know, that's a possibility too. But the frequency in which you see it there, it's unlikely that it's a mistake every time. Mm-hmm. But my kids, luckily, have had great coaches who have looked out for their health, have been trying to teach them the right way, and they're having a blast. They're having a blast playing, and you know they love playing baseball. And you know, baseball is a sport that many find boring, but once you understand the chess game inside of baseball, it becomes a fascinating game because the mental side of baseball has a lot of life lessons in itself, as I'm sure your dad has probably told you many, many times over and over again. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I can remember I get done with spring practice at Liberty and I would go home after I would eat at this fantastic Chinese Japanese restaurant near where I lived. And I just put on baseball, man, because baseball is so different from football.
And it is.
It was a chance just to reset. I mean, we've been at practice. It was hotter than blazes on the turf. And it was just something I always enjoyed, having that balance of football practice, and football is a high intense, fast paced thing. And then baseball is just, okay, this is a different pace. Not here for all of that. Yeah.
Absolutely. I believe that's probably one of the reasons why my kids like it so much, because it is so different. It's strange, right? Because football can be so physically draining sometimes, you know, like, especially when you have a younger kid, they're like, man, I'm tired. I don't want to go, I can't find whatever, which is just an excuse. They know exactly where, you know, all their stuff is. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, you know, they know that on that hot August day, they're going to go out there, they're going to be drenched and they're going to be worn out. Mm-hmm. Baseball is a different type of activity. You know, it's still physical, it's still hard work, but it's different. You know, it's different than the grind that football can be. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the mental side of it is such a cool thing to study. One of my favorite books I read recently was the book by Joe Maddon, and I am blanking on the name of that book, but it's the one he most. Let me see if I can find it on my computer. Joe Maddon book. What is it called? The Book of Joe, man, that book is worth a read for any coach, anybody, any sport. Oh, it's so good. It talks about, and he always talks about, you can't forget the heartbeat. You know, baseball's analytics and scouting, and he's about, man, you got to remember these are people. Like, these are not, you know, just numbers. And I think that applies to all sports. I mean, that book, if anybody's, whoever's listening, that's a book that's worth buying. I mean, it's in my office at school, and I'll probably pick it up and look at it tomorrow and go back over some things. But man, just what a great read.
I guess I'll be going on Amazon after we're done with your podcast here. So I'll have to check it out.
And he has a podcast that goes along with it. And he's, you know, if you've ever heard him talk, he's a very gregarious person. He's easy to listen to. And because he's kind of pushing back on some of the analytics things in baseball. He's saying, hey, man, we got to have some room for some feel and some judgment here. And I see football kind of going at the higher levels more towards analytics. I understand that, like when to go for it on fourth down and things of that nature. But sometimes you got to trust the gut, man. Like, you got to go with what you think's going to work.
So do you think maybe, you know, at the professional level, because there's so much money wrapped up in it, do you think that has, maybe that's driving the analytics?
Oh, I think owners like certainty. I mean, the guys that own teams, right? So they're billionaires for a reason. And they like structure. So analytics is structure, and it at face value, it seems like, okay, we can't go wrong here, which of course is not correct. I mean, obviously the analytics help, I would think, but I think from what I've read in that book, owners in baseball, especially, I read about it in football too, are really starting to get involved with some decision-making. Like what kind of plays are getting called and stuff.
Jerry Jones.
Yeah. And I can see coaches being like, I don't know about this. You know, like the Dave Tepper situation in Carolina, he went through three coaches in like a year and a half or something. You know what I mean? Like a season and a half. Like,
that was pretty quick.
Oh yeah. I don't know.
He was lacking some patience for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, Matt Rhule is a great coach.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the NFL is a wild thing, too. I feel like that's so different from high school and college.
It's its own
thing. Yeah, for sure. So who's are your teams the Orioles and the Ravens, I'm guessing? Am I assuming correctly there?
You would be wrong, Coach.
Wrong. Okay. I love when I'm wrong.
You're partially right. But I'm originally from the DC area. So I'm a homer to DC teams. I still call them the Skins. I'm a Skins fan. I'm a Caps fan. So I was an O's fan. I still am an O's fan. But when the Nats came back, then I became a Nats fan also. So when it comes to baseball between Nats and O's, it's really, as long as they're not playing each other, right, I can root for both of them. But probably because I am such a homer, if they do play against each other, I probably hope that the Nats win, but I'm not upset that the O's win, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, for sure.
Give
me your thoughts on the Commanders nickname.
Terrible. That's a simple thought. It's terrible. It's just awful. It's nothing close to the roots of a team, in my opinion. You know, I'm not going to get into the politics side of the original name. You know, that is what it is, and you know, I'm a fan. But there's 100 different names out there that could have come closer to the roots of the team, in my opinion. I think Commanders is more about the ego of our former owner than to have anything to do with the roots of the team. Dan Snyder was a very eccentric, egotistical type of man, and I can see him wanting to be called Commander in his own personal life, you know, so it doesn't surprise me.
Oh my gosh. I was watching a podcast that had Robert Griffith III in it. And his take was that nickname was Dan Snyder giving the Redskins faithful the middle finger on his way out the door.
Oh, I agree with that too. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we can still see that finger right now playing his day, because we see it every day still. So well played, Snyder. Well played.
Yeah, I mean the new owner, from what I hear, sounds like a good dude. Like he's going to kind of do a better, he's going to do a better job than the former regime.
All signs point to things being done a lot different. If you just look at the people he's brought in into the front office, he has professionals there in the organization now, where Snyder had a bunch of yes men. That's not the way, plus you had the attraction of Magic Johnson being part owner. I mean, it seems like a lot of professional teams, new ownerships tend to have like this celebrity conglomerate now, and it kind of makes sense, because if you're not a football fan, but you're a basketball fan and Magic Johnson is now part owner, well, you're going to attract more fans, or, there's different celebrities, and major, in professional sports nowadays. And I think that's smart from a financial aspect, because you're probably going to attract more fans than you ever have. I mean, just look what's going on with Taylor and Kelce, right? Mm-hmm. All her fans are, have no idea about most of these games and who's playing them and where they're at, but a lot of them know about Kansas City now. Mm-hmm. We're excited about the Commanders. I think, it's new ownership, it's being done properly, and the coaching staff is it's a really good coaching staff they put together for this season coming up. I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful that maybe in a couple years we might actually, be respectable again, except for our name.
Except for our name. That's fantastic. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I mean, Dan Quinn, heck of a head coach. I mean, really good, really good coach. Man, I was reading an ESPN article about kind of how they settled on Dan Quinn. And I just love how Dan Quinn was so honest about things he's done that he wouldn't do it the same again. Right. So he's gone back, looked at his career and said, hey, how would I do this differently? And he's reflected upon that. And that's just such a good model for me, for all of us. I mean, that, hey, like when things don't go the way you want them to, let's reflect and let's have a better plan going forward instead of blaming other people, right? Saying, oh man, well, this didn't turn out the way I wanted it to. So how do I continue to go forward and make the product better, for the next opportunity? And man, just, yeah, really good article to read. I think it was on ESPN. I think that's where I read it. That's usually where I read my sports news. Where do you read yours? I don't really have anywhere else I read sports news.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. I mean, with these smartphones nowadays, speaking about analytics, they kind of analyze everything that you're searching and looking up, and next thing you know, it's popping up all over your phone as it is. So you really don't have to go searching a whole lot for whatever topic you're looking for. It's going to pop right up on your phone. So, I like ESPN. I think ESPN is kind of getting more Hollywood, in my opinion. So there's some shows on ESPN I still like. What's the Wilbon in Corner? Is it Pardon My Interruption? Is that the I like their show still. Obviously McAfee. Sports Center for me is kind of not the same Sports Center. Like it's more showbiz, and I just don't. I'm sure, like you and me, you both, and most people who enjoy sports grew up on Sports Center, right? Wake up. Some people will wake up and watch, cartoons in the morning, and some people will wake up and turn on Sports Center. And Sports Center was great. It was great. It's just not the same Sports Center, and maybe that's just a sign of the times, and I'm getting older, it's just getting a little Hollywood for me, in my opinion.
I tell you what, SportsCenter helped me read. I mean, I've watched that thing every morning.
the ticker on the bottom? Yeah, no doubt. You got to be pretty quick sometimes to catch everything scrolling on the bottom, no doubt.
Yeah, and that was, like, my love for stats is, I kind of started there. You turn on the SportsCenter or whatever, and, like, I wasn't a cartoon kid past kindergarten. I was SportsCenter. Turned it on. First grade, and that's what I'm watching most of the time.
Well, speaking of stats and being a kid,
you know, back in the, I don't know exactly what year it was, but back in the 90s when Madden first came out, right? When it first came out, you know, at the end of the game, it'll kind of show you, you know, what your team passing yards, rushing yards, and attempts and stuff, right? But it wouldn't tell you the averages. So I would go and figure out my averages. I'm like, okay, I had X amount of runs for X amount of yards. I'm like, okay, cool, I'm doing all right. You know, it's just one of those weird things about sports, how, you know, because you see it on TV as a kid, like, okay, well, Jerome Bettis was averaging 6.7 yards per carry this game. And you're like, okay, well, what are my guys averaging on Madden? You know? Mm-hmm. So it's funny, even with Madden, how far along everything has come. You know, now it's any stat you can imagine, you know, my kids play Madden. So any stat you can imagine you could ever want to know, it's displayed right there in the game. You know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I think too, for like high school football players, a lot of kids, if they play Madden and soon to be NCAA football again, yes. They know more football now because those playbooks have become so realistic schemes are when you introduce it to them. Like, oh, it's called this in Madden. I'm like, oh, it is. What do they call this? But that's cool too. Yeah, that's really neat.
Yeah, you know, it's my oldest. Well, both my kids play football, but my oldest now, when he's looking at like a Madden game, he understands what kind of defense is in front of him based on where the safety is lining up, you know, mm-hmm. and that's all for Madden. He learned it from his coaches in youth football too. And you know, he's had some great youth coaches. He really has, but just looking at Madden over and over and over, you know, he's like, okay, well, this defense is what's being played on me. It is really realistic on what's going on in Madden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think too, with YouTube, I mean, you can look up anything you want to know about football. You really can. I mean, it's just at people's fingertips. And I mean, that's like, for me, I mean, I was an O lineman by trade. So I knew pass protection, like the back of my hand coming out of college. But then like the route structures, right? So you're learning, you know, what are horizontal concepts, vertical concepts. And now the big thing in NFL and college is all progression read. So it's just, if they can count to five, they can play quarterback. Like, okay.
Yeah. That's true.
There's one, there's two, there's whatever. And I think that's become like I've heard people use the term cheat code in like college and pro, and then, you know, they'll formation people and stuff, but then they're running the same plays over and over again. And for the quarterback, it's the same read, or you're just looking for where's one, where's two. And that made sense to me. Like, oh, okay, that makes sense. That's a little easier to teach than, hey, you know, cover one, you're throwing here, cover three, you're throwing there, cover two, you're throwing here. It's, well, that guy's always the first read. And you're like, okay.
Absolutely. Especially when you have young athletes, you know, if you can simplify it for them, because one of the bigger hangups for young athletes in any sport is when they have to think too hard about playing, because then they're not just naturally reacting anymore. You know, if you have to think first, then your reaction goes down. Mm-hmm. So if you can simplify it that way, it helps your athlete. You know, as they get older, as they understand the game more, their IQ is going to go up, and then you get more dynamic as you move along. But if you're trying to help an athlete, if you can make them react instead of having to think, well, you got a better athlete already.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I know he passed, God rest his soul. That's like Mike Leach. That's his legacy on football. Is they ran like, I don't know, 5-6 plays, but they did it over and over and over again. And there was always an answer built in. So if they take away this, we're throwing that. Or, you know, they take away this in the run game. Now, the guys who are doing it well now have a run game answer too, right? So we're looking at Lane Kiffin and those guys. But did you see Lane Kiffin's spring game?
So, no, I have not.
Oh.
Somebody else was talking about it the other day.
They did like a Pro Bowl thing. I think that's awesome, man. Like,
that's exactly what I heard the other day.
I mean, what a great idea, though. So, I mean, you're trying to keep people healthy, make it fun. The portal thing in college is, I don't, that, all that seems wild to me. I mean, there's no salary cap. Just pay him what you can pay him if you can afford it. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's changed the game. Without a doubt, it has changed the game. You know, some for the good, some for the bad. There's pros and cons to, I guess, anything in life, but there's definitely pros and cons to the portal and NIL. I think it needs to be governed a little bit. I have one major opinion about it, and it means nothing. It really means nothing, and it's probably never going to happen. But my biggest concern has always been, so if you're a professional athlete, you're a target, right? Mm-hmm. People know you have money. People know that you probably have jewelry on you, whatever. If you're an 18, 19, 20-year-old kid and you have a six-figure or higher NIL deal and you're going around campus and you decide to go to your nightclub on that campus, you're easily a target for many different things. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all kinds of bad things can happen. Now, I believe if you want to give them the money, give them the money, but give them a percentage of it in their pocket now and put the rest away in savings. Why not put some of it away for these guys, right? They're still in college. They're still learning how to budget their finances. But if you give them that kind of money, anything and everything can possibly happen to a young athlete with that kind of coin in their pocket. So now that's just my little theory on how I would like to see it happen. Again, I'm a nobody, but that's probably never going to happen. But that's always been my outlook on that.
I think it's a great outlook. I mean, and you're giving kids, I know where my dad coaches down in Florida, NIL has reached high school. And it's making six figures and you're 18 years old, 17 years old. And good for them. I mean, but like you said, there should probably be some help along the way, some assistance to how do we manage the money. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money for anybody. Jeez.
Yeah, it's significant. I mean, you know, and not only is there the NIL money, but you know, there's vehicles and all kinds of stuff is wrapped up in NIL. NIL doesn't have to be cash. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to be given an NIL contract. I mean, there's you know, players. I don't remember what school it was. Maybe it's Miami. Maybe right. But they're all. What were they given down there? Was it somebody given some kind of a sports car down there? I can't remember.
Oh my gosh, jeez.
I can't remember what it was. I don't know. I could be wrong. I could be mixing up my facts here. But yeah, I mean, could you imagine if you're, you know, 19, 20 years old and you're in Miami and let's just say it's a Porsche or a Ferrari or something, plus you have, you know, $250,000, you know, in your bank account? Holy moly. Holy moly.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah. There's just all kinds of bad things that could happen. I mean, it's a good thing that you're having some financial security, but I mean, look, we look at the stats of the pros. I mean, a lot of guys blow their money within the first year or two and you know, after they're out. And I mean, I would imagine it's the same with the NIL stuff that kids are just going to spend all their cash and like, where'd it go? You know, houses, cars, friends, whatever. That's wild, man. Man, I love this conversation. Well, this is good.
Yeah, well, I was just sitting here thinking. I was like, you know, if there was NIL here at Ken Allen High School, what would it be? And I can only think it would probably be like, you know, a dozen of crabs or something. You know, that's probably going to be the NIL that we get here at Ken Allen.
Right. Yeah, or go to – Adams and I'll buy the Impossible Burger because that's what I eat.
No doubt. Or what do they have there at Adams? They have the I think it's the barbecue trio. I think is what they have there. That's big money NIL there. You get the barbecue trio. You're living it up.
That's right. And the Payolas, man, they got the good stuff there. The good coffee. They got the good breakfast. Good place. I got my haircut there at the Sports Clips thing. That's a good deal. I like that. I like going to get my haircut there.
Yeah, it's not bad. You know, get in there and speak at the Sports Center, you get in there and watch your sports highlights while you're getting your haircut. It's not a bad deal.
Not a bad deal at all, man. Thank you for coming on and doing this, my friend. This is fun.
No, this is fantastic. I was worried I was gonna make a fool of myself, and I'm sure I probably did, but you know, at least you guided me along the way. So
not at all, man. This is good conversation. I love, man, the reason I started this thing is, you know, you have conversations with people, and you know, once you have it, it's over. And then if you don't record it and put it somewhere, and yeah, it's just cool because you can reflect back years later on cool things you talked about.
Oh, coach, you're being sensitive. You're keeping memories of me. That's awful nice of you.
Absolutely, man. The older I get, the more I'm like, man, life is just, it's about the experiences you have and the people you get to meet.
And, yeah, well, you know, some will say yes, dementia, you know.
Well, maybe I have that too. I'm sure I have CTE. I played college football. Like, I'm sure there's CTE up there somewhere.
Yeah. I hear you.
And that's another topic, man. Like, I'm glad I got to play high school and college football. And like, there's no like, hey man, I wish I wouldn't have done that, you know? So
yeah,
that's a whole other podcast in itself, is talking about through all those issues.
Cool, absolutely.
Man, you were your first class, and man, I'm looking forward to doing the season together, and we'll have a great time at Kent Island.
Yes, sir. I'm fired up. We're ready to get this thing going, and I can't wait. So I appreciate you having me on, and it's been a blast, and yeah, great conversation. This is fantastic.